The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Micha Cohen.
Simon Kufnun Beis. We're continuing now with Simon Kufnun Beis, and we're holding at Sif Yud. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says the following: Hamachabek, one who embraces Ayam Anashik, one who kisses Afil Achas Min Krovos Shein Lo Shemana, even one of the relatives that he does not have a benefit from, an enjoyment from, Hariza Oisa Isser. He's doing something incorrect. Now, what the Kitzur is referring to is the following: if one is Machabek or Menashek, one who embraces or demonstrates affection in such a way to a woman who's prohibited to him, so he transgresses the Isser, the prohibition of Lesikravu Legalos Erva, that one should not come close to uncover Erva. Now, that means that any act that there is a physical contact, and it's for the purposes of a man and woman loving each other, so that's something that according to the Rambam, is a Torah prohibition. Now, this halacha would only be, according to many mefarshim, the Shach, only if it's in a way that it's done machmas taiva, because of a desire, because of, you know, the desire between man and woman. And that's why people go to the doctor all the time, and a hygienist or a nurse treats a man, or vice versa. And the reason is because if it's not done for that purpose, then it's permitted. But if it is done for that purpose, then it could be a Torah prohibition. So that's step number one. Now, step number two is, what the Kitzur is referring to is, what about relatives that are not a father and daughter, or a son and a mother, but it's a relative where there's not really, so you don't have that affection of a parent to a child, but on the other hand, you don't have that same taiva, that same desire that you normally have between men and women. An example of that would be, let's say, a brother and a sister, or a niece, or and a nephew with an aunt and uncle. Those are situations where it's a familiar relationship, but it's not exactly the same as a parent. So this is what the Kitzur is discussing. Now, it's important to mention that the reason why a parent is obviously permitted to show affection, physical affection to a child, even though they are an Arava, right? We know that a father and daughter, or son and mother, are prohibited to each other. The reason is because it's what's known as chibas kurva. It's the affection of family, as opposed to chibas ishus, as opposed to the affection of a man and a woman. Now, based on that idea, that's why it's permitted. Now, what the kids are talking about over here is hamachabek or menashik, afilu achas mina krovos she'ein lo shemhana. We're talking about specifically a brother and sister, or an aunt and uncle, even though he doesn't mention it, but it comes from the wording of the Rambam that says that. The harizah oisa iser. So he's doing something wrong. Now, there's a discussion on Paiskim exactly what he's doing wrong. One possible approach would be to say that even though an actual act, there's no, and it's not a real feeling of pleasure, because again, it's more of a family type of thing. But the idea would be that to do these things in a persistent way could eventually lead to not good things or not good thoughts, because at the end of the day, it's not a father and mother. So therefore, you know, over time, it could be a problem, which is something that we do find. Let's say a brother and sister, even though they're permitted to be secluded with each other, but we do find that they shouldn't live together for extended periods of time. So that could be one possible approach. Now, so based on this, it's not recommended for brothers and sisters to hug and kiss each other. Now, physical contact is permitted because, again, because anyways, that's not real affection. And on top of that, they are brother and sister, so therefore there's no real feeling of those types of feelings for each other. It's more just family. Now, the kitzur continues, she ain't craven la'erav klal, because one shouldn't become close to a forbidden person at all, meaning even though it is a sister, and therefore there's not such real affection, you know, it's only a family type of affection, but it's still not recommended. Chutz min av im bitoy, except a father and daughter, va'im im b'na, the mother and son, shehim utarim b'chibuk v'nishuk, they are permitted in hugging and kissing. Sif Yud Aleph. Ein lenag afilu im ishtoy b'dvarim shel chiba, even with one's wife, which showing affection is definitely permitted, to do that, then la'ayim b'reisha yuchadayma, to look in her hair and to check for lice. That was something, I guess, that they did in those days. Uchadayma, b'fnei achem, it shouldn't be done in front of other people. Why? Shelo yavai harayali, they hear her, that the person looking at it is going to, it's gonna spur on thoughts in his mind. So this is a sensitivity that the kitzur is telling us about, that one should be careful in front of other people, not to do things with one spouse that could lead other people to have improper thoughts. Now the kitzur continues in Sif Yud Beis. Aser sheyidor bebeis chamiv, one should not live in the house of his in-laws, unless he has his own room for sleeping. Now, apparently, in those days, what would happen would be, you know, people lived in, didn't have so many rooms, so couples, I guess, would sleep separately. You know, couples would sleep, maybe they would partition off, maybe with sheets or so other sorts of partitions to give them some privacy, so that then relations would be permitted. But over here, the idea of not being in the in-law's house, so the Rambam, if you look, the source of this is the Rambam. The Rambam seems to say that even though there is some, as we're talking in those days when everyone would actually be sleeping in the same room, I guess even with some sort of partition, but it would be in the same room. So the idea would be for to be sleeping in the same room as the in-laws, that would be something, and obviously to be engaged in marital relations and these things, that would be sort of something that shows, like Azos, shows a lack of sensitivity, because it was considered like distasteful. So therefore, if they have their own room, like today, you know, people go to their in-laws and they have their own home bedroom, that's fine. But in those days, when they were sharing one large room, then there was something that Chazal found to be distasteful. Sif Yud Gimel. Kvar harichu gadol Yisrael zuchanu levracha b'sifrei makadoshim. The great sages talk in their holy books, but the chachas musarim, and the bekrai, what was unfortunately a practice, it's fairly common. Alamin and karub ezim akaimus, shem b'nei Torah, in places that they weren't knowledgeable in Torah, the yira and fear of heaven. Shemiskarven achasim makala b'chibuk v'nishuk, that basically that the bride and groom would embrace each other. V'chein oisim rikudim, and in that frenzy, the young men and young women would also start dancing. B'churim u'b'sulas yachad, and the boys and girls, the young men and young women would dance together. And what was the problem? Umofata Isra Godel Isra Nida. So, because besides for the fact that it's inappropriate, the problem is that all these girls don't go to the mikveh yet because they're not married. Shari Kala Basulas Mustama Nida, same, we assume that these unmarried girls are young women are Nidais. The Ain Chilik Isra Nida Ben Pranila Sua. And the prohibition applies to a married or unmarried woman. And therefore one who touches her in an affectionate way. So basically you have these young men and young women dancing together, and obviously they're attracted to each other, and therefore that sort of touching and coming in contact is going to be a problem, because they are nidos, and it's a real iser deraisa. And he says, chayv malchus. So first of all, number one, is that the very fact that they're doing that, they're coming into physical contact, would be transgressing the prohibition of leisikru legalis erva. One should not come close to erva, and they're doing that by coming into physical contact. Now, second, that's first of all, oid megar yetzahara benafshe. You're also inciting the yetzahara, because you're bringing yourself into contact with all these girls who maybe es asmoi lidekisha ledas, and he's going to cause himself to come close to Hatzazar Levatala, to wasting the seed. Rachman al-Islam, heaven forbid. So basically, this is a practice that you see in a lot of Thrum, they were crying, and it led to a lot of not good things. The actual dancing was problematic, and also the fact that they were being together that way, you know, dancing together, and that also led to not good things as well. Now, we're going to see later in the Kitzur about how, according to Halacha, you know, young men and young women shouldn't really have any real, you know, major friendships, unless for the purpose of, you know, they spend time with each other for the purpose of for marriage, to see if they're appropriate for each other. But other than that, they need to, you know, learn to keep an appropriate distance. Obviously, you could be polite, but to keep the appropriate distance, not to come to things that shouldn't happen. And the kids are continues, with father kol mishu yesh b'yado limchais, one who could stop this practice, tzarech l'sa'amitz b'chokeich limchais, he has an obligation to try as hard as he could. Chavetz Chaim in Mishnah Berurah and others of his farm also decries this practice of this mixed dancing. And at least any person who has fear of heaven, so he should at least in his own house definitely teach them and direct them the proper way. That they should distance themselves from this very inappropriate behavior. As the Gemara tells us, one who could influence and stop something and doesn't do so, he's responsible. And a person who is able to influence people in a positive way, he is saving himself a tovla, and he's going to get reward for that. Sif Yudalit. Each issue writes at least Sai. So until now we're talking about the mingling of young men and young women just for no purpose at all, and that's very problematic. Here we're talking something entirely different. We're talking that they're considering marrying each other. So now they want to Isha Shahu writes at least Sai, so he wants to marry her. Mutale Varoiloi, it's permitted and proper. The Raisa, he should see her. Why? Because we don't want it to be that he's going to wake up the next morning after they get married and say, hey, I don't like the way she looks, and therefore it's not going to be very good. So we want him to make sure beforehand that he knows what he's getting himself into. And he would sign that if he's, she's according to his will. But he shouldn't look at her in an improper way. As Eov says, that I made a promise between my eyes, why would I think about an unmarried woman? Now, it's important to mention over here, you know, the whole dating process and, you know, the period of Chasan and Kala, that these are times when you have this sort of delicate balance between trying to create relationships and, on the other hand, keep a safe and proper distance. Now, the bottom line is, and there's a beautiful letter that I recently saw from Rosh Hashanah Valba, that, and this is really, if you can read this into what the Kitzur brings, this pasuk in Eov, that says, actually the wording of the Kitzur, that the Kitzur says, Aval istakel bo derech zanus, he shouldn't look at her in an improper way, meaning that the dating process is to get to know another person, and just like, you know, you get to know anybody, whether a man or a woman, you know, that's a big part of it, you know, getting to the personality and enjoying their company. And that's something that is definitely not problematic according to Halacha, you know, because, you know, it's just like getting to know any other person, and we're not concerned that it's going to come to something improper, because if you're going to like each other, if they like each other, then it'll become a marriage. So that's great. And if they don't end up liking each other that much, then they're going to stop seeing each other. So either way it goes, it's going to be fine. And the actual time they're spending together is, the focus of it is just getting to know each other as people. You know, nothing to do with, have affection or anything like that. So therefore, there's nothing wrong with that. But on the other hand, they do have to be careful of, you know, where they go and the way they spend time together. That definitely could come into something that could be showing, you know, types of affection that could lead to questions of lasikra v'lo galus erva, things like that. And that is especially true during the engagement, where they definitely have to show their goodwill and excitement about each other and excitement about their marriage. On the other hand, they have to keep the proper distance, you know, in order that they should you know, keep, because at the end of the day, they're not married yet, so therefore they have to keep the proper distance. One good rule of thumb is, like we saw before, we mentioned previously from the Aruch HaShulchan, the ritva that says a kol shem shemayim mutter, that anything that's for the sake of heaven is permitted. That, you know, spending time with each other and gifts and phone calls and all these types of things, that they're done, you know, because that's what's expected, and that's normal, and that's sensitive. You know, the fact that this person's willing to marry you, obviously they deserve certain attention and certain types of things, especially if they're expecting them, because it's sort of normal. So that's fine if it's something that specifically has to do with, you know, things that are more having to do with the Gilui Erva, you know, Chibuk V'Nishuk, anything that has to do with more actual forms of love and these types of things, then one has to be careful about that. Now let's continue with Sif Tesvav. Misha Gerish is Ishtim and Anasuin, one who divorced his wife from, and they were already married, like Sida Yimei B'chatzer, they should not live in the same courtyard. Why? Because again, since they're overly familiar, we're afraid that they may act inappropriately. Vim Hoya Vim Hu Kayan, and if he's a Kayan, so he's not, will not be allowed to remarry her, Chenafil Imhu Yisrael, Vihinisis La'acher, or if he is a Yisrael, so he would be allowed to marry his divorcee, but not after she married someone else, and she did marry someone else, Vihinisis La'acher, Neskarsha, Gamimenu, and now she's single again because she married him and then got divorced, and then married someone else and got divorced, but she's not permitted to him. So it's even more problematic because they couldn't remarry each other if they wanted to. Or in a situation where the wife was halachically prohibited to the husband for whatever reason, so there, then they need even extra distance. Then they shouldn't even be in the same small alleyway. If it's a closed alleyway where no one else can come through, so it's more secluded. But if it's a thoroughfare, that it does pass through, then it's permitted. Now, a divorced woman, who now she's living with her new husband, so now not only is she prohibited to marry her original husband because of the prohibition of marrying your divorcee if she got married to someone else, but she's a full age as ish. She is a married woman, which is even more severe. Even further distance. Shouldn't even be in the same neighborhood. This is something that Bati Din are careful about when a couple would get divorced, unfortunately, is that to make sure that their living arrangements are that they're in separate places. Now there's a question, Chayshemishpat wise, you know, who has to go for whom. So it seems that if he, I guess, could be because he owns the house, so she would have to leave. Ach im hayachatzer shalom. But if she owned the house, who nidcha miponel, then he would have to leave. So basically, the one that owned there would have the upper hand. That's what it seems. Sif tezayim. Mutar adam lozon as grushase. Now this is sort of a very interesting halacha. It says that a person is allowed to support his divorcee, and it's a special mitzvah more than a regular poor person. One should not look away from their flesh. And since they were married, therefore she still called his flesh. But he shouldn't be directly involved with her, because that could be a problem. He should support her through a third party. Now, I always find this halacha to be fascinating, because even though these people aren't married anymore, but the very fact that they were married makes a certain bond that halachically, when it comes to laws of tzedakah, he has a special mitzvah to support her. And I think it sheds light onto the people that, thank God, are happily married, that to appreciate what that is, that halachically speaking, that a wife gets the status of a person's own flesh, that and therefore you have special obligations to your wife before other people. Sif Yud Zayin. Amra Bruna, Amarav, the Gemara says, Kol Yoshin Bekilo, one who sleeps in the room, Sheish V'Ishto Shuriyim Ba, so they sleep in the same room as a husband and wife are sleeping in. You know, in the old days, he would sleep in inns, right, and there wasn't necessarily that many rooms, and he would take up a room where a couple were sleeping. All of HaKas of Imra, on that the Torah says, the Navi says, Neshei Ami Tigarshim Mibais Ta'anu Geha. Basically, what the pasuk says is that you're doing something wrong by staying in that room. Now, what does that mean? So, the simple understanding is because you're causing this couple discomfort, because if they were wanting to have relations, then it would be prohibited because someone else is in the room. But what the Gemara tells us even more than that, that even if she would be in her nida status, so relations would be prohibited, it's still a wrong. Why? So the Mefarshim explain, because at night, when people, you know, go to sleep at night, husband and wife, so the normal thing is that they tell each other what's on their minds. So it would be the wife's opportunity to get off her chest what's bothering her and tell her husband, and if someone else is in the room, she's not going to be able to do that. Now, again, this is something that gives us a very interesting hashkafa, you know, point of view on how the Torah looks at marriage and how the Torah appreciates that type of that, and is sensitive to the fact that a husband and wife should have such a relationship, and other people